message?
Yeah, I'm going to just start off the prayer thing. So okay. Why don't you pray for me?
Oh, all right. Abba, we thank you for our pastor, for the quick recovery that he's making. We ask you that you just continue to bless him, to strengthen him, to give him his healing back so that he can be about the full use of his arm. Just bless him tonight as he shares what you've put on his heart, that we might draw closer to you. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for all the prayers. You know, this prayer thing is starting to work. I'm really surprised. Last time we met, Mark was up here and going, you know, we prayed, but I didn't believe. God, when God wants to do something, God does something. My lack of faith will not stop the hand of God moving. There are times I even wonder why he asked us to pray, actually. Because he's God. He sort of does what he wants. That's one of the perks of being the Almighty. You can pretty much do what you want and park anywhere you want. There's a lot of perks to being God. But I think the Lord is starting to teach me to be a man of faith. I prayed, and I asked others to pray, that after this operation there wouldn't be any pain. And when I got out of the operating room, the damage was a little more extensive, and they actually had to take it like a Dremel tool in there and grind out the socket. And I don't have any pain. Now, a man of faith might start rejoicing almost immediately. God answered the prayer, and you don't have any pain. So you would think whoopee would be one of the words that would come out of your mouth, right? So my first thing was I was worried. There should be pain. I know I shouldn't actually be telling you this. I may not be the greatest man of faith, but I am honest, at least. The Lord has been answering prayers. And frankly, I'm not used to it. I've prayed a long time. I've been walking with God 47 years. A lot of my prayers, I would say most of my prayers, have not been answered. But that's changing. I don't know exactly what's going on. I can't really explain to you what's going on because I simply don't know. But this prayer thing is starting to work out real well. And God is starting to answer these prayers. I want to start off this prayer thing because I don't know how much time I got. These operations take a little bit out of the old people. But I have noticed this week that there is a number of parallels between Exodus chapter 1 and where the United States is today. The Jewish people have enriched every society of which they have been a part. Our dispersion from the land has been a blessing for the nations every single time. We become involved in that culture, and almost immediately that culture is elevated. It's the way it is. The Jewish people enriched Egypt. God gave Joseph a dream, and they were able to avoid a famine that covered that entire region. And to thank Joseph, Pharaoh allowed his people of Joseph, children of Israel, to settle in the land of Goshen, one of the most prosperous and pleasant valleys in all of Egypt. And they lived there and began to expand in size. And then it says, a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, who had either forgotten the history or disregarded the history of the blessings that the children of Jacob brought to Egypt. All he saw was a group that was growing larger, and all he saw was a threat. The actions of Pharaoh eventually led to Egypt's suffering, but it also led to the children of Israel coming to the base of Mount Sinai and hearing the word of God. They heard the 10 words in the midst of the cloud. 8 years ago, a president rose up who had forgotten Israel and the blessings that Israel has brought to this nation and indeed the world. We don't hear about it much on the TV, but Israel, one of its greatest exports is its technology in farming, in irrigation, in desalinization. And Israel has brought water to the deserts of Africa. They have brought crops to people who are hungry. Israel is everywhere. It is always trying to be the first on a scene of disaster. Many times they are not allowed in, but they make the offer. In one section where there was some earthquakes, they set up their portable MASH units, which are inflatable tents, and they're just portable hospitals. And in 20 to 30 minutes, you've got a working hospital in the middle of absolutely nowhere with generators and modern equipment to do operations. They surpass us in that. A man sought to do evil. He forgot the blessings that Israel has brought to the nations. Yes, the nations have blessed Israel in housing us when we have been in the diaspora, but we have in turn, we have returned those blessings many fold over. Seeking to do evil, he rallied the nations of the world to divide the land of Israel and to do it for the sake of peace. And I couldn't get past that. All week long, you wanted to divide the land of Israel for the sake of peace, and it just kept going over and over in my mind. And I realize now that that action has been detrimental to the United States of America. He came before the nations of the earth and rallied them. And they made a proclamation. Our land is now divided. And we have no peace. People riot in the streets. The people of our land are divided almost 50-50. Right now. The very thing we thought to do to Israel has returned upon us. We are living in the consequence, and it didn't take months to bring about. There have been outbreaks of these tornadoes and these ridiculous thunderstorms in many parts of this nation, flooding, extreme weather. Not rare, but certainly unusual for winter tornadoes. One of the largest outbreaks of those tornadoes was on the day of the inauguration. We hindered Israel from fighting Hamas violence, and now violence is being visited upon us. We now have a man who purports to love Israel occupying the office of the president. I should have the energy of this man. It's quite remarkable. In a week, what he has accomplished is really quite dramatic. He has removed, on day one, Obama signed an executive order, and you have been paying for abortions all over the world. On day one, that was reversed. He has turned his back on some of the more odious policies enacted over the last 8 years. And now he faces a formidable resistance by those who would see him fail. One of the more profound pictures that I saw of the march was a sign that said, if Mary had had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess. And of course, that thought bothered me for the obvious reasons, but then I became mad at myself, at the body of Messiah, because that sign makes it rather obvious that they know who they fight against. They understand. It's called a mess from their perspective. But they understand that it's the name Yeshua that they fight against. And it's my prayer for tonight, for our nation, that the body of Messiah would rise up and recognize who we fight. And that we have been enabled by the fact that Mary did not have an abortion. And that that one was actually born. And he lived. And he spoke words of life. And he emanated a divine light. And that light was the life of men. He came to forgive his people and to empower us. We have to be aware of who we fight. And we have to engage vigorously and deliberately. We need to pray for the safety of this man. Because I know that somebody wishes to do him harm. We need to pray for wisdom for this man, that the Lord would lead him and guide him in the paths. We need to pray that he would find the courage to be resolute in what the Lord is leading him to do. And we need to pray that it is indeed the Lord that is leading him. And we also need to pray that the more moderate of the people of this country recognize and view this insanity and this violence that is being just paraded before us, this just pure insanity. Did they leave? That they would see this and not want any part of it and completely disassociate themselves, because it's not a large group that is doing it. You talk about 100,000 people, that's not a large group in a country of 350 million. The lines are being drawn. They are as obvious as the fact that I am standing here. This is real. And we need to pray. And we need to pray for all those things I mentioned and for all the things my brothers are going to mention. And we need to do it continually. And we need to encourage everybody we come across. The body of Messiah must come together on this. If we cannot come together on this, then we will never come together. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you that you have opened the eyes of your people and that we can see clearly the lines that of demarcation, the lines that separate the children of light from the children of darkness. It could not be more obvious, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who empowers us. And I pray that you drive us to our knees to pray diligently that your name would be lifted up in the darkness of this world, that we would show forth light in the darkness of this world. Lord God, cause us to cry out, Yeshua Hu Adon. Strengthen all this day, Lord. Please allow your children to come together as one. In Yeshua's precious name, amen. Richard, would you come up, and then Mark and Stu, and we'll break up into groups. Pray for individual needs.
The pastor and the rabbi here tries to claim he has a lack of faith in expecting prayers to be answered. Some of it might not be a lack of faith, but actually those he hangs around with. He talked about having no pain after the surgery, and until a friend of his walks up to him tonight, wraps his arm around him, gives him a nice slap on the back, "Good to see you." Some of us seem to work against prayer instead of with it sometimes. And for that, I do offer my apologies. We are an amazing time. We have all sorts of recognition of things. Special days put forward that really get their origin from the same spirits that have been around for thousands and thousands of years. Today was International Holocaust Day, remembrance of the death of 6 million of our people. But the Holocaust didn't really start with the death of our people being led to the camps, the gas chambers, the different ways that they were killed. But it started with a disregard for life. Not the killing, but the disregard for those who are alive. And we see that fear today. But we see the dividing line in the spirits behind the claim of devaluing life. During the time of our reading with the plagues, we had devaluing life going on. People put in bondage. People living as substandard humans, thought of as less than others. And we have people fearing that devaluing a life today, where some of them last weekend led a march of women out of fear, of how rights will be taken away and they're going to be devalued. For fear of a suspected devaluing to come where nothing is happening yet. If it will. This week, there was another march. Many people know of it? Yeah. Mostly women involved in a march for life. For those who are truly devalued. This has not been a big focus of mine until the last year. Some of you know I've been working as a chaplain in some of the hospitals. I have seen these babies at gestation 17 weeks, 19 weeks. Being in a Catholic hospital doing baptisms for the babies as they're taking their last breaths because they exited the womb too early against their parents' wishes. Having seen them, they are babies, period. No one can claim otherwise. Anyone claims otherwise, I'd love to have them come into the hospital with me. We devalue these lives of those who are in the womb. And it's especially hard now that I'm a grandparent and seeing my own daughter with what she's gone through with a baby and joys that come with it, even from a secondhand approach, not being my own child. I remember her talking about the peanut she had inside of her. And it wasn't but a few weeks later, this was obviously a child. According to WHO, the World Health Organization, there are 125,000 abortions a day throughout the world. And for the first time in who knows how long, we have a president who has stepped forward and in his first week stopped our international funding of abortions. God bless that man. Amen. However, not all abortions are international. We have 3,000 abortions a day here in the United States. How long does it take for that to equal 6 million? Not that long. And for the first time ever in history, excuse me, we had the United States Vice President Mike Pence marching in the March for Life this week. This week's march was against devaluing other people. Last week's march was a pretend fiasco, hiding under the same title, but operating with a completely different spirit. look at the pictures of the March for Life this week and the pictures of the Women's March last week, and you will see the spirit involved claiming the same title. And Satan is the father of lies. We're a divided nation. As Pastor Burt put it, the sons of light and the sons of darkness. However, what I think we need to pray for, on top of the thanks and the strength of our leaders, is for ourselves, calling ourselves sons of light. During the last week, I had somebody trying to defend why there were less people at the inauguration this year than the last presidential inauguration. And the person plainly put, well, people didn't come because they were afraid of the riots and the people in the riots. And there is some truth to that. And that is a shame. Because those who are operating as the sons of darkness and parading around as genitalia, doing their despicable acts in the light, they have no fear whatsoever. The ones who should be fearing God have no fear, yet we operate in fear. And refuse to speak out and let our voices be heard and refuse to go places because we are afraid of those being led by Satan. Who is the greater person? Do you believe it? If you believe it, we must do something. We must pray for our leaders, but we must pray that we have strength, that we open our mouths and refuse to let the devaluing of life go on that others parade as their cause, where a lot of the purpose of their parade was to kill the very babies who are being devalued. Lord, we need your infilling. You do not fill us with a spirit of fear. We claim we have an infilling of the Holy Spirit. With that infilling of the Holy Spirit, we will not be afraid to speak the truth. We will not be afraid to go places and let your word be heard. God, I pray and ask all of us to pray that your sons of light find strength, that we may shine in the darkness instead of letting the darkness cover us up. Amen.
Shabbat shalom. It's good to be here. We spent years here back in the 80s cutting our teeth in Messianic Judaism. Very thankful to have a congregation spearheading Messianic Judaism in the state of Colorado. And so we went off and we did our own thing and established a congregation up north. And we're the wild child. What can I say? But we're enjoying ourselves and making a difference for the kingdom of God by the Spirit of God in us, and we're excited. So thank you, Roe Israel, for doing and hosting this important event that takes place on an ongoing basis, because I think we all realize it's not enough to pray someone into office, but we got to pray them through that office. We are the government, and so we have a lot to do as the people of God representing such a great nation as this. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about Israel. Israel is the prophesied long, long ago, in ancient times, prophesied as the blessing to the nations and or the cup of trembling to the nations. Of course, conditioned on how the nations respond to her. And so we see now today like it's always been. Israel in the forefront. She's always been there. She always will be there. So jumping back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says this in verse 7 through 10. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, he will inform you. Your elders, they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him, and he cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. The world rebelled against God shortly after the fall in the garden. And then later, again, mankind rebelled against God in Genesis 6, which precipitated the great flood. And then again, at the Tower of Babel, they rebelled. But this time, God himself, and not an angel, scattered them throughout the world. And he handed them over, these rebels, to the rebel angels who too had fallen. This is the story of creating the nations, where God sets their boundaries and says, you want to rebel? Go rebel. And to the angels that fell, go. That's your allotment. And so the nations were given to these fallen Elohim, and these people were given over to them. And God says, but I'm taking a nation for myself, Jacob and his descendants. That will be my nation. And the rest of the nations will be underneath these fallen ones. As Rabbi Bristol pointed out, the spirit behind this, these are the ancient ones that fell that are now over the nations, leading them in rebellion against God Most High. And the nations rally against Israel because Israel represents the nation of God. So he took Jacob and formed a nation, and that nation is his nation, Israel. Through this nation, Israel, he, God, would bring forth his son, who would redeem not only his nation, but the whole world. In fact, in Acts 17:30, it states this, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. God's saying, you know what? I was mad at you. I handed you over. Good news is I had a plan to redeem it all in the end. And now I'm requiring everyone in the nations to repent and come back to me. Through Israel and through his son, birthed by this nation, he will redeem the world. In Jesus, the Jewish Messiah of Israel, everyone in every nation that embraces him as Savior and King over all can be redeemed and grafted into the chosen people, Israel, thus comprising the commonwealth that's growing and expanding throughout the world today. It's interesting to note that as the nations line up with Israel, they find themselves blessed. And when they find themselves fighting against Israel, those blessings are greatly diminished. I believe God has, is, and will save Israel and all the nations who come into her commonwealth through faith in the Jewish Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Son of Man, and he is the Son of God. Here's the good news. America, through President Trump's administration, is currently realigning itself with Israel. And this is crucial to America's survival and welfare. We all of us, as individuals and as a nation, we all need to align ourselves with the King and his Son who sits on the throne. We need to align ourselves with the King's people, Israel. And we need to align ourselves with the King's land, Israel. And we need to align ourselves with the King's law, which reveals how we, his subjects, shall live. And we need to align ourselves with the King's agenda to invite and to persuade all the nations to come under the compassionate reign of his wonderful Son, our Messiah. So in closing, I want to state this. America is poised to rise again. The church in America is poised to rise again. Let's not falter. Let's seize the day. It's our turn. It's our time. It's our nation. It's our destiny, and it's our legacy. So let's return to our King, his people, his land, his law, his agenda, in the mighty name of Jesus. Shabbat shalom.
Why am I always last to come up here? Thank you for allowing me to come here. Shabbat shalom, everybody. And have you sensed a not so subtle shift in things over the last few months? I don't know about you, but I have. But let's not grow complacent in that either. I really, really want to. I just want us to read a psalm, and then I want us to pray together. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a picture of these days that are going on today. Psalm chapter 2. You can read along with me if you'd like. Why are the nations in an uproar and the people mutter vanity? The kings of the earth set themselves up and rulers conspire together against Adonai and against his anointed one. Isn't that so true? I mean, it's happening. They're just, they set themselves up against the anointed one. Let's rip their chains apart. This is what the nations are saying, the leaders. Let's rip their chains apart and throw their ropes off of us, as if the Torah and God's commandments are somehow constraints to our freedom. What arrogance. He who sits in heaven laughs. Adonai mocks them, so he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. And I believe that he is going to speak to the nations through us. He speaks to the nations. He speaks to the leaders through us. So that's why we have to speak out. When we see unrighteousness, we speak against unrighteousness. When we see sin, we speak against sin. I have set up my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will declare the decree of Adonai. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me and I will give the nations as your inheritance." It's a picture of Yeshua. And the far reaches of the earth as your possessions. You, Yeshua, you shall break the nations with an iron scepter. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's jar. So now, O kings, be wise. Take warning, O judges of the earth. And this is kind of, David is kind of coming into this psalm right now and speaking to the leaders. Says, so now, O kings, be wise. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Serve Adonai with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he become angry and you perish along your way, since his wrath may flare up suddenly. Happy is everyone taking refuge in him. Those of you who are taking refuge in him, why don't you stand? Why don't we? I want us to stand and pray tonight. And I'm just thinking about this. What are the two issues right now, today, that are causing such division, not just here in America, but all over the world? We've been talking about them today, the sanctity of life and God's covenantal purposes for Israel. You know what? You're not going to get agreement on those things. But those are where the battle lines are tonight as we come together and we pray. That's what's going on. You've got the sanctity of life that has been under attack, well, forever. 60 million almost aborted babies just in America alone. And, you know, as also I'm an Israeli citizen, Israel is no angel in this either. Abortion is just as widespread there as anywhere in the world. But we need to stand, and I want us to pray tonight specifically. We've talked about Israel and our support of Israel, and that's a key. These two areas, sanctity of life and supporting the nation of Israel. We really need to pray for our leaders for wisdom and how they're going to approach this, because there is so much pressure. You know, you've heard about, let's move the embassy to Jerusalem, and I'm all for that. But do you realize what that's going to do? There's that. We need to pray that our leaders are going to have wisdom in how they do that, when they do that, and how they do that. So, and if you would also, and keep me in prayer too, because we're going to be going, we're in a week from Monday, about 16 of us from our congregation are going to Israel. So we're going to be there ministering to Holocaust survivors and to widows and to people in the land. So we're going to have an exciting time. But pray for us while we're there. But let's pray together right now, because we're in some exciting times. And yes, God does answer prayer. And we are surprised when God answers prayer. But you know what, Rabbi Burt, when you said, you know, where are you? Anyways, just raise your left arm and come on, wave it around. But, you know, I think, you know, God can do all of this stuff, but he wants us to engage with him and participate with him in doing it. And something happens when we do that. So let's join together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, you are so good. And Lord, we are just in awe of what you're doing, even in these days, Lord God. Over these last weeks, we're going, wow, Lord, it's happening so quickly. But Father, we want to just join together as a people tonight. We want to pray for our administration of this nation, Lord God. Pray for wisdom. There is such an attack against them. There is such an outpouring of anger against them, Father. And who knows how many crazy people are going to take up that call and do something. But Father, we pray for protection for Trump, for Pence, for that administration, and for the purposes that he has set in motion, even in this last week. And Father, there has been a terrible thing that we have done against your people and against the nation of Israel over the last years. And Father, we repent on behalf of the United States for turning our back on that nation, for condemning Israel, for condemning them and saying they're an occupier of their own land, for turning our back when the nations of the world say the Western Wall, the Ma'arav Kotel, and Eastern Jerusalem do not and have never been Jewish. In the name of Yeshua, we break that bond, that we break that resolution that was put out in any involvement that we had in that, in the name of Yeshua. We repent on behalf of that. And Father, we pray that as decisions are being made over these next days and weeks in regards to decisions in the Middle East, in regards to decisions in Israel, Father, I pray for the fear of the Lord upon our nation and upon our leaders. Father, that they would not look to a poll or to what others may say, but would in awe turn their eyes upon you and hear from you, Lord God, and only make decisions that are consistent with who you are and what you're wanting to do in these days. Father, we pray that you would protect that nation from the north, from Dan to Beersheba, and Father, from the Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea. Father, we pray, Lord God, that we would again bless that nation. Father, I pray that we would not shirk and run from our responsibility to bless that nation. And Father, I pray for as a body here, Lord God, in Denver and in this nation, Lord God, that believers, Father, would just have a renewed sense of your purposes being fulfilled in these days. Lord, we would not grow weary in praying, in speaking out against unrighteousness. Lord, there's a sense when we see things happen, there's a complacency, and let there not be a complacency that comes upon us. But Father, we heard the shofar call last year. Father, we rose up and we prayed. We saw you do amazing things. Let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary in endurance and persevering in prayer on our knees and also speaking out for righteousness. Lord, I pray for even a greater boldness would take place. A greater boldness would go out from this congregation, from all of the congregations and churches in this city and in this nation, Lord God. That there would be a fire that would spread. Lord, that the light would not be subdued and quenched in the name of Yeshua. I speak boldness and confidence over us tonight in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen.